Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, if it sounds like I am passionate about the issue today, it's because I am. I don't know of anything else that will affect the Christian community, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the freedom of speech and religious liberties. I don't know of anything that will affect it any more dramatically in the negative sense than to have what we see taking place today in Washington with the attempt of destroying the rightly, legally, constitutionally elected president of the United States, President Donald J. Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the fact that we are seeing, as President Trump went into office saying he would drain the swamp. I think, if I can put it this bluntly, I think that he did not recognize that it was not just a swamp but a sewer, and he's just now recognizing that. And in attempting to drain the sewer, those that's in the sewer in Washington happen to be in the beltway of the politically elite that's in charge of the shadow government trying to carry out a coup to remove him from the presidency. Ladies and gentlemen, after the failure of the Russian collusion charges, we see now the socialist Marxist Democrats leading what I call a kangaroo court with charges that have no evidence. In fact, it's not based on evidence. It's based on first, second, third hand conversation, claiming that somehow, some way, there was a quid pro quo in the conversation that President Trump had with the president of the Ukraine. Well, now, let me just do a little pause and a little parenthetical footnote to the whole conversation today. My question is, why should we be investing billions of dollars in the Ukraine? When President Obama was in office for 8 years, he ignored the Ukrainians' request for military aid. He ignored the Ukrainians' request for assistance to fight off the Russian invasion, trying to take them over as they did in Crimea and in other parts, Georgia and other parts of the old USSR. President Obama sent blankets and food and did nothing to help protect them. And here's President Trump that was willing to assist them but was simply asking for their government to look into the corruption that took place back in 2016 with the Biden, Hunter Biden and his dad that was vice president at the time, Joe Biden. So in doing so, because he was asking for them to do that, he simply wanted to make sure that the U.S. taxpayers' dollars were safe going into the hands of the Ukrainians. But I still am at a loss for an answer as to why we taxpayers in America need to continue to support by the hundreds of millions and yea, even billions of dollars in that part of the world. I believe that President Trump did more than any other president would have or could have done, far more than President Obama had ever done in relationship to that. And now with Adam Schiff, with his kangaroo court and his committee, he tried to read, in fact, did read into the record, a false, phony, fabricated, he called it a parody, of President Trump's telephone conversation. He did that not realizing that President Trump would, in fact, authorize the release of the transcript of that telephone call, which reveals in that telephone call that President Donald J. Trump did nothing that was against the Constitution, nothing that was illegal, nothing that was untoward in any fashion. But yet they have fabricated a whole yarn about that. And then having, ladies and gentlemen, a panel of four jurisprudence experts come before them, I am appalled by the end result of that. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we are, as America today, at a crossroads. May I say this today, ladies and gentlemen, if our president is fully successfully railroaded and removed from office, America will face a national open revolution. I said it, yes. In fact, back in 2012, I had the privilege of authoring a book entitled, Is It Time for Revolution? Subtitle, Will It Be the Battlefield or the Ballot Box? It's a verse-by-verse study of 2 Chronicles chapter 10. In 2 Chronicles chapter 10, it was after Solomon's death and the divided kingdom, and there was a battle over the presidency, as we'd call it. Who's going to be the leader? And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, there was a major, major, major fight of the people. The people simply wanted, they petitioned, as I call it in my book. They said, thy father made our yoke grievous, our yoke burdensome and very grievous. The people said to the leadership squabbling over the power, the past leadership is wrong. The past leadership has been detrimental. We want some relief. We want something to take place. And if I can paraphrase that text, ladies and gentlemen, 2 Chronicles chapter 10, if I can paraphrase that, they were saying to the wannabe kings, the wannabe leaders, they were saying to them, we need a government over us that will lead us, will care for us, will understand our needs, and be benevolent toward us. But ladies and gentlemen, that's not what took place. And as a result of that, and I don't admonish us or to say that we ought to do this necessarily, but as I state in my book, they killed the IRS agent and chased the king out of town. But ladies and gentlemen, I don't believe the American public, 63 million people that voted for President Trump, and I believe if the vote were taken today in the November 2020 election, I believe we'd have somewhere in the neighborhood of 80 to 85 million people that would vote for President Trump to be reelected. So this besmirching of his character, this attempt to destroy his integrity, this attempt to shame him before the globe is designed expressly to try to use that as clout in the 2020 election to prevent him from being reelected. But ladies and gentlemen, I commend this book to you. It's still relevant today. The title of the book is It Time for Revolution? A verse-by-verse study of 2 Chronicles chapter 10. And if you call in the broadcast today with your dialogue, discussion, or question, leave your name and address with Roger. We will send you this book. We'll even pay the postage on it. It's not an expensive book. It's about a $13 book. It's less than 100 pages. But it is a wonderful biblical reading, and it will be illumination for us today as to what's taking place in Washington. Ladies and gentlemen, America now faces what I call open revolution. I don't believe that the Americans will sit back and allow this illegal act to take place and do nothing and say nothing. I believe we have 63 million people that voted for President Donald J. Trump that will stand up and speak up and act up as citizens should and standing for our constitutional liberties. Ladies and gentlemen, may I remind us today, we need to look at those that are in charge today. Look at those that are in charge of Washington. Look at those that are in the Beltway, those that have their hand in the cookie jar, those that are running the swamp and the sewer, those that do not want to be exposed, those that do not want to be put in position that they can no longer run a shadow government. Look at these people in charge. The fake, phony, false trial, they're in charge of that. Look at those that are in charge of the operation of our governance today. And they're wanting to remove our president. Listen to this, ladies and gentlemen. Those that are in charge of this phony, fake kangaroo court, those that are in charge in the Beltway in Washington, want no borders. They want all illegals to come in. They want to give free education. They want to have free medical care for everybody, including the illegals in America. They want to continue to pay for and to espouse and to approve and to embrace murder by way of abortion. These that are in charge today that's trying to destroy President Donald J. Trump and to remove him from his presidency, they are in complete approval of the sodomite lifestyle. This is the reason they voted in by 240 votes in the House, House Bill 5, called the Equality Act, which is to support the LGBTQ sodomite lifestyle and to make it, if it ever is signed by a president, it will make it illegal. It will be considered hate speech for you to say anything publicly or from a pulpit in a negative fashion about the sodomite lifestyle and about the Planned Parenthood and the LGBTQ in general. We will become a Gestapo nation, ladies and gentlemen, at the hands of those very ones that are claiming that President Trump has done something so erroneously and so egregiously wrong that somehow, some way, he needs to be removed from office. These same ones will squelch religious liberties, will squelch freedom of speech. They will destroy our Second Amendment right, do so by the confiscation of all weapons. Illegals should be allowed to vote, according to these that are in charge of the shadow government, the Beltway, the socialist Marxist Democrats in charge today, led by Nancy Pelosi and by Adam Schiff and by Chuck Schumer and Jerry Nadler. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Nadler hates President Trump, has hated him with a purple passion for 20 plus years now. This is his opportunity to carry out a vendetta that he's had since he was an alderman in Manhattan in New York. Ladies and gentlemen, they believe it is legal and constitutional to impeach President Donald J. Trump. Now, I don't know if they truly believe that or if that is the shadow government that they want us to see and not think of it as being a shadow government. But ladies and gentlemen, Jerry Nadler and his kangaroo court had a supposed constitutional panel of constitutional lawyers that were set up as props. They were set up as show candy. They were set up simply to make the world believe that somehow, some way, they were acting with integrity. They wanted the world to believe that somehow, some way, that they were carrying out the kangaroo court, the shadow government court. They wanted the world to believe that somehow, some way, it was authentic and was being carried out based on the authority of the Constitution. But ladies and gentlemen, it was absolutely wrong, absolutely incorrect. I believe we have a caller on the line. Go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, God bless you, Dr. Youngblood, for continuing faithfully to sound the trumpet. So I am thinking that possibly we have gone beyond, even beyond the crossroads. I'm really thinking that we are in trouble because they are bombarded, communism, Islam, and atheism, whatever, others. And we are not doing what we should be doing. But the main thing is that you are faithfully every day. You know, but my problem is the listening who are hearing. There's thousands, and it is especially in the churches. We are alarmed at the way the churches are silent with all that is going on. But the problem is, and that is the indication that the members, the thousands sitting in those pews in the churches, are locked in completely. The media, in other words, when they just listen to what the media is telling them, they are totally in ignorance of where we are or what is going on, the situation in America. We're going to find thousands of those loyal Americans sitting in the pews, going and voting for the loss of our freedom, voting for our the destruction of America. The main problem, we need to realize really that Donald Trump, raised up by God in answer to prayer, is not the main target. He is going through it, and only him, God, prepare him to bear what he's bearing. But the target is the United States, the destruction of the United States. And that means all of us. But people are not aware of where things reach. It's the deception. It's hiding the truth. The media is doing it, hiding it. And although, like you and so quite a lot of others speaking out and revealing, they're not hearing. They're still in the dark. If we could only find a way of waking up these people in the churches. But the pastors don't want to be mixed up in politics, so they keep themselves away from everything to maintain their numbers and in the churches with the empires that they're building. So we really need prayer, just God himself, because we are at the crossroads. I am thinking that we really, lawlessness and indiscipline, the breakdown of law and order, is the evidence of where we reach, whether it's communism or it's the Islam or whatever, they're heading towards lawlessness and the breakdown, indiscipline, breakdown of law and order. And that is what we are dealing with now, the breakdown. These people who, as it were, capture the Congress from the time the election, they had insurance, and that all of what they're doing, obstructing the president from performing as best they think they could, but God overrule, and they are continuing because they are in charge. So we don't have it. This country is gone. We are really gone. There's no law, no order, no discipline. The Constitution is totally put aside. So we are in big trouble. I'm standing
yes,
with
we are,
you.
And I believe what you're saying is right on target. One of the things that we need to understand is that we do have a major problem in America. These same people that want to undermine and tear down and destroy President Donald J. Trump are the very same ones that have brought about, as you call it, the lawlessness in America. It's that same group that's against law and order. It's that same group that's against our Constitution. It's that same group in the shadow government that's trying to undermine, tear down, and destroy what would be called constitutional law today and the letter of the law of carrying out what is legal and right in America. We have almost destroyed law enforcement in America. Police officers, police departments can no longer recruit because nobody wants to be a police officer and become a target by carrying out the law of the land. We have, as you said, I believe, gone beyond the crossroads. We're at the crossroads, but I believe we're proceeding down the wrong portion of the intersection. But I am so thankful for your call, and yes, you're exactly right. We need to keep on praying and asking God to intervene. And the only way that President Donald J. Trump can be sustained is through the prayers that's being lifted up by Christians across America, by Christians across America. Franklin Graham has said several times, pray for our president. Dr. James Dobson has entreated Americans to pray for our president. We need to pray for President Trump, ask God to give him wisdom beyond himself each and every day that he can continue to sustain himself and carry out the task that God has placed him in office to do. But ladies and gentlemen, this crank kangaroo court now with Jerry Nadler had a panel of four constitutional lawyers to testify President Donald J. Trump's guilt. And I found it fascinating that when Representative Matt Gaetz challenge them. Can any one of you four, by raising your hand, indicate that you have evidence, you have proof, you have indication of anything that President Trump has done that's broken the law or that was unconstitutional? If you do, raise your hand. None of them could raise their hand. They were embarrassed by the question because it brought to the forefront the phony, false, fake trial that they were having. All four of these, ladies and gentlemen, listen, all four of these so-called constitutional law professors are Democrats. All four of them contributed to the Hillary Clinton campaign. All four of them voted for Hillary Clinton. Now, Professor Turley, though he is a Democrat, yet his testimony, although very limited, I don't know if you watched any of the trial and the hearing, the responses, but even though Turley is a Democrat, he stands tenaciously on the Constitution. And he warned them and warned them. By the way, not one of the socialist, Marxist, Democrat interrogators asked constitutional lawyer Turley any questions. It was only the Republicans that asked him questions. I don't know if you noticed that or not. He was very limited. He sat there almost with his seated on his hands because he was not being asked any questions. But the socialist, Marxist, Democrats would not ask any questions to Turley. Turley stood firm against the false, phony charges against President Trump. Ladies and gentlemen, this entire false charges are based on so-called whistleblower, which is not even a whistleblower at all. But ladies and gentlemen, here's an article. By the way, they've tried to keep sequestered the name of the so-called whistleblower. Here's an article that says Donald J. Trump goes public, tweets alleged name of the whistleblower. Last Thursday, attorneys for the whistleblower declined to confirm or deny that their client was CIA analyst Eric C-A-C-I-A-R-A-M-E-L-L-A, Caramella. Eric Caramella, a CIA analyst. By the way, that CIA analyst is an embed in the White House that has privilege of going and coming even today in the White House. But he's the one that is the so-called whistleblower. He's not a whistleblower at all. He had communication with Schiff and with his staff 1 month before he was brought to the forefront, that Schiff and his staff had the opportunity to talk, and yet Schiff declares and swears that he does not know him, does not know his name, is not familiar with him, and it's an absolute lie. And ladies and gentlemen, the attorney representing the so-called whistleblower, the attorney is one that has been for 3 years now, since President Trump went in office, been advocating for and speaking about somehow, some way, getting rid of President Trump. Here's an article. Years before complaint, whistleblower's lawyer vowed vowed to get rid of Trump. The credibility of the partisan push to oust President Donald J. Trump and undo the 2016 election took another major hit as the apparent motives of the prominent anti-Trump lawyer were found in a pair of tweets from 2017. The lawyer said in the tweets in 2017, "We must get rid of him. We must impeach him. It's very scary," he wrote in a follow-up post. "We will get rid of him, and this country is strong enough to survive even him and his supporters. We can do it," end quote. And that's exactly what they're attempting, ladies and gentlemen. They're carrying out now their intent of impeachment since the day President Trump became the nominee, before he was sworn in, and intensely after he was sworn in. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go over the question and comment, please.
Yes, it's a little difficult to speak this morning, but I'm going to try to push through this to make some important points. You're dead on. What you're saying this morning is so important. People better hear you, because this nation is headed for revolution. I don't say that as one who's a revolutionary that wishes to overthrow the world, but the fact is, historically, in human history, every 10 generations, which is the time when a culture usually fails. Cultures only exist for 200 to 250 years or so. And usually it's the 10th generation where the culture tends to fail. A generation is 20, 25 years in length. Now, here's the point, that America is the point now where we have abandoned our values. We have become an Isaiah chapter 5 people, making good evil and evil good. It is self-evident from the people that are coming forward and saying what morality and freedom is. Then a revolution is always led in that roughly 10th generation by the people who remember how things used to be. Unfortunately, all those revolutions fall short. And those people in our country who will be leading that revolution are those like, well, you and I, who have a certain belief system, an understanding of what works. We know just from empirical data why America is successful, and that's because it is a God-honoring nation.
Yes.
Now, let me point out a couple things that you haven't mentioned today that are fact. And let's focus on Fellman and Carlin yesterday, the two miscreant, and I'm using that word intentionally, Jewish members who are going against the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in what they're doing. Miss Carlin is a lesbian. Are you aware of that?
Yes, I am. In fact, if you could pause just a moment, hang in there, don't leave. Let me read you. I pulled up online and listened to a speech that she made recently, and a speech that was given to the American Constitutional Society for Law and Policy. She openly attacked rich white people. This is what she said. I'm quoting her now. "The rich white, pampered, prodigal, sanctimonious, inserious white sons of the rich and powerful are not in charge, should not be in charge." Then she said, "What about us snarky, bisexual Jewish women who want to think what we think, do what we want to do, and love who we want to love?" End quote.
Okay, so we've established one demonic base of that travesty that we saw on TV yesterday. That's Miss Carlin. There's a lot more to talk about her. But we go to Mr. Fellman now. He attended Maimonides School in Boston, a very strict Jewish school. And yet this man has grown up to be, as you probably know, an Islamic scholar.
Yes.
And Mr. Fellman, in spite of his deeply Jewish roots, has said publicly, well, he thinks that the idea of Sharia law is pretty swell. Did you get that? That the idea of Sharia law is pretty swell. So those two sitting there next to each other in judgment of the man God has given us to deliver the Judeo-Christian ethic from the Democrats would allow Sharia law to slay that woman because of her sexual views. It is a madness. Review some of the articles, some of the cartoons that Jim Carrey, the comedian and movie star, is doing. Look at the sickness aimed at them. And these people all aim at one thing, and this is the common ground, the reproduction of righteous human life. They hate human life. they hate the way it's created, so they come up with an alternate style of expression, so that a love expression, so that there's no product of conception. They create ways to destroy the product of conception, called abortion. They find ways to use the product of conception sexually, called pedophilia. Are these not predominantly associated with the Democrat Party? The last thing I'm going to say is this. It is the Democrat Party of this country that is doing the work of Satan, that if anybody thinks that they're a believer and can vote Democrat, they're absolutely nuts. And the people that could deliver us, our African-American brothers and sisters, have been so deceived by the sophistry of James H. Cone from Union Theological Seminary that they're embracing the evil that by nature and by instinct they are repelled by. It's an unbelievable, maddening world. Good is
it is
evil.
It is a demonic source that is in full charge now. This is the reason, as you said, we need to keep on in our prayers and asking God to give wisdom. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but I've got an article in my hand that's hot off the press early this morning. Hillary Clinton now calling for White House advisor to be removed. She says it's at present, it presents an emergency now. White House senior advisor Stephen Miller, she says, needs to be removed, and she is saying that because he is the part of the backbone in the White House staff that President Trump has depended upon. She says, every day that Stephen Miller remains in the White House is an emergency. Clinton tweeted this before promoting a letter calling for Miller's removal. She's literally had it signed, this article, this letter going to the White House demanding that he be removed, is signed by the Southern Poverty Law Center professionals, so-called, that hates this president and his administration.
And our brothers and sisters at Chick-fil-A are sending money to that bunch of radical knuckleheads.
Yes.
Let me make one final statement, and I say this as politely as I can, but it's important. God is letting every person who is a Christian or who wants to be a Christian, who's inclined toward him, see the obvious. Good is good and evil is evil. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Whether it's the gods on the other side of the river or something else that your fathers have falsely worshipped. But as for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Every human being better understand now, this is the day of decision, and the right answer is only one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you better turn to him and do so quickly.
Amen. That's a good footnote on what has been said today. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining this dialogue and discussion. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 120 21 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida. Located just 1 mile south of I-295. You are invited to worship with them 9:30 a.m. Sunday for Bible study, 10:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship service, 7 p.m. Sunday evening worship service, or 7 p.m. Wednesday fellowship meal Bible study. Prayer, Bible Q&A, and updates on issues facing our city, state, and country. Tune in again for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. Also tune in the same station Saturday mornings at 9 for expository Bible preaching by Dr. Youngblood. Remember, a rebroadcast of this program can be heard every evening, 9 p.m. on 100.3 FM. Tune in and invite others to listen.